Cheers, my brother.
Cheers.
Matt.
Here's to our podcast.
You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Let's do it, man.
All right.
Well, Matt, you and I have been thinking about doing this for a while, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
What do you think spurred this?
I think just our conversation between the two of us, as soon as I met you, I realized we were like-minded people, and we had interesting things to say, so...
Conversation always works.
Yeah, it does.
Conversation always works. At some point, we realized they were probably interesting to weirdos like us, right?
Yep, exactly.
So maybe we put it on camera, upload it to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really want to do this for?
Really, my thing is just to kind of get the things out there that I believe, like talking, not necessarily things I believe, like, you know, things I want to talk about, like just to kind of put them out there into the universe and, you know, see if they take, see if anybody's interested in hearing them.
Why do you think they're important?
They're important because, you know, just because they're ideas. I think all ideas are important.
Absolutely.
Even bad ones. I mean, you know, I think most of mine are good. I like to think so anyway.
Sure. But, you know, you're right, though, about the bad ones, because you have to contrast light with dark.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there has to be something to tell you this doesn't work in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Change, grow.
Yep.
And evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And without evil people to show you what that looks like, that becomes an impossible task.
Yep.
Don't you think?
For sure.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. And folks, this is why we're going to call ourselves
the Original Liberals.
The Original Liberals.
We're taking back the name.
We are taking back the name. And if you don't know what we're speaking of, liberal had a very different context 200 years ago. It was part of the Founding Fathers movement. They were the liberals after the word liberty. Libertarian.
Classical,
right?
Liberals, yep.
Absolutely. And I'm a firm believer that it was once we got rid of the popes and the kings, we had this grand experiment on a continent far away from the popes and kings. And everybody who came here had a taste of that freedom during those colonial years that they realized was different from what they had left. They had hopped on that boat.
Yep.
And they had the cojones to leave their families and everything they knew behind to go conquer a new frontier. We're the descendants of those people.
Yep.
And
I mean, you just think about how much to do something like that, individualism is, you know, just you. You're going somewhere new. You have just, you know, nothing but, for the most part, a lot of these people, just the clothes on your back, you cross an ocean. You can't do that unless you're, you know, a rugged individual, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your entire life revolves around you being just you and
that's
you,
right.
You and you yourself, and that's it. And
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so it's not just a political philosophy, I guess. It is a political philosophy.
I think it's a way of being that ended up blooming into a political philosophy.
Yep.
And you got to think of the context here. It's like you just elaborated.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who wanted to hop on a boat,
yeah,
take all the risk,
mm-hmm,
come to a new land, colonialize. Believe me, it's not like it is today. There's no roads when they,
yep,
get here. There's no place to live. You got to build your own home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, you know... There were peoples here,
mm-hmm,
and I think that's a controversial subject that we'll definitely get into.
Oh, yeah.
At some point in time.
We won't shy away from controversy.
Too. Not shying away from controversy. Believe me. We're going to have fun with that. But to overcome everything that was overcome, and we can all imagine what this set of circumstances was in order to start the beginning of building a nation, and then not only doing that, but defeating the greatest army maybe the world had ever known to that point, which was the British Army,
yep.
with the help of the French and things of that nature. But we did it. And there was this amazing libertarian, original liberal philosophy that created the standard of this nation. And at that moment, 1776, 1782, etc., started a new trend in the world where we went from horses to locomotives to airplanes and spaceships in a relatively short amount of time compared to the prior entire known written history of the world.
Yeah.
And we think, Matt, Ben, we think that is incredibly important. It's not perfect, but it's important. And we, as the original liberals, don't think we're going to change the world by doing a podcast. Don't get me wrong. But we're going to push our weight.
That's right.
We're going to push our weight. There's an attack on this. And we, like I said, we're not going to change the world by doing this ourselves. But we're going to carry our portion of that load that we believe in philosophically. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry for the long rant.
No. Rant all you want. That's what it's about. You know, you rant now, I'll rant later. Yep. But I absolutely agree with all of that. I guess my thing is that, you know, when I think of, like, the original liberal, like, classical liberalism, it's, you know, kind of like I said, it's about, you know, carrying your own weight, being your own man, you know, or woman.
Absolutely.
You know? It's a political philosophy, but it's all, I'm afraid it's a dying political philosophy. Obviously, the word liberal has been overtaken by a philosophy that is totally the opposite of what ours is.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, totally the opposite. I mean, there's, you know, obviously exceptions to everything, but I think we want to focus on kind of bringing it back, you know, bringing back the original meaning and, you know, kind of talking about, you know, what kind of people we are and, you know, anything from day-to-day life to, you know, philosophy, whether it's political or, you know, dare I say religious. Or,
absolutely.
You know.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. And that's what I think the podcast is going to be about. And, you know, this thing's going to evolve as we do it, obviously, but this is kind of the basis for it.
I think so, too, man. I think somewhere deep in who you are, probably, just, you know, I don't want to talk for you.
Sure.
Somewhere deep within me, this is important because I feel like, and I think I'm not alone, I think a lot of people out there feel like something's backsliding. And maybe they can't put their finger directly on what it is, but they feel that something's wrong, there's something out of place, there's something that's changed, and I don't know if you want to say since COVID, I don't know if you want to say since 1900, I don't know if you want to say since the Road Rules and Real World Challenge came out in the 90s.
Honestly, I think all of that. It's incremental.
Uh-huh.
I think that since COVID is, without a doubt, the most noticeable.
Like, sure.
What I've seen happen in the world in the past 3 years is absolutely terrifying.
For sure.
You know, I was already thinking about it before that.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, 1900, you can start it wherever you want. You know, it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, I bet if I was going to pinpoint, and I don't know if this is the time and the podcast to do it on.
Whatever.
I would start 1913. Ron Paul used to say, repeal 1913. Mm-hmm. If I'm mistaken, please forgive me. If I'm wrong on that year, I want to say it's 1913. And if it was a different year, then let me know in any, you know, way of contacting us, whether it be through the comments, etc. But I want to say it was 1913 that what the monster from Jekyll Island was created, if you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, so.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No.
So,
enlighten me, please.
The international banking system decided that this growing industrialized nation is becoming a great power in the world. They wanted to take over its financial system, and this is when the Federal Reserve was created.
Gotcha,
and
okay.
It was also, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was the same year that the Federal Income Tax was instituted.
Gotcha.
You know, those who control the purse strings control what happens, right? And I think that's when that takeover occurred. And from that point on, there may have been an incremental slide back towards what we escaped through what used to be popes and became kings you know, prior to that was probably pharaohs, yep. but kings. And then I think in the absence of popes and kings, there became communists, where it was another way to consolidate power and wealth into the hands of the few. Now, don't get me wrong, capitalism has its problems too,
yeah.
where we see corporatism, mm-hmm. right? You know, and where corporations have outsized influence with our political system.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think these are all things we're going to talk about in depth.
Yep.
As we go forward, I think there's so many interesting topics. And again, this is an expression of why you and I are doing this, yep. in the sense that I think there's a million ways you and I both want to go with this. Am I wrong?
No, totally.
This, I mean, everything I'm saying, I'm sure you and I could have a half an hour discussion.
Every time we get together, we have a half hour discussion.
Yeah,
on something exactly. like this, which is, yeah. you know.
Which is why we're
kind of why we thought we should do it.
Do
a podcast.
Matt, what do you think about what I just said? I mean, I don't know if it's the right way to put it, especially considering this is my first podcast.
Mine too. And
please be easy on me. All right.
I learned a lot. You know, if you got the years right.
Who knows? Yeah. I'm just going from the cuff here.
No, they're good points. Society has changed. Society was one way for a long time. It changed rapidly into something productive, mm-hmm. you know, not just productive, but I think good, something good and productive. And,
what is that something? What do you mean?
I mean, capitalism, personal freedom, you know, personal responsibility, rugged individualism, I guess, you know, that.
Do you think there's anybody who would disagree that we started as a libertarian nation, as maybe the first libertarian nation?
I don't think anybody that knows what they're talking about would disagree.
Okay.
But if you look at the Constitution and just the arguments that they had, you know, when this government was first set up, a large group of the founding fathers thought that the Constitution was, you know, way too powerful of a federal government. And, you know, the arguments were the liberals, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. what would be considered a liberal back then would have been, you know, and I'm not sure,
Thomas Jefferson.
Sure if that terminology.
Thomas Jefferson, right?
Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, it's, do we want, is this Constitution create a government that's too powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Today, the constitutionalists are the ones that want to take the power away from the government for the most part. The originalists, you know.
And yeah.
To me, that's just amazing that, you know, the ones that were in favor of the Constitution as it's written now were the ones that were in favor of a more powerful federal government, which, you know, obviously
which is not happen. Really the case, is it? Or am I missing what you're saying?
What do you mean?
You mean the name, or do you think the actual people themselves?
No, I think, ask me the question again. I'm not okay. sure I understood it.
What I mean is, Trump, from what you're saying, is the people who are in... Actually, please reiterate for me, because the way I took that, maybe I missed out on it, was that you believe that the people who were in favor before of a small government,
yeah,
less powerful government, are now the exact same people that...
No, not that they're the exact same people. Okay. You had two camps. You had a camp that was in favor of the Constitution the way we have it,
okay,
and then a camp that was in favor of a much weaker, you know, form of government. So,
okay, so you're talking about... Because the Constitution, would that be libertarian? I mean, that'd be sure. very liberal.
I'm just saying that there was a group that was even more libertarian than that.
So like, almost like anarchists?
Yeah, they're looking
at essentially.
Maybe not anarchists, okay. but a much less powerful federal government. And,
okay.
You know, I don't necessarily know. I think the Constitution's great the way it's...
Absolutely.
The way it turned out.
Yep.
You know.
I think it's the greatest document.
Absolutely.
That was ever conceived.
Because it, mainly yeah. because it can be changed if it needs to be changed. And it's uh-huh. needed to be changed, and it was changed, but...
How could they, you know, there's no way they could foresee 250 years
no, of course
into
not.
The future and what threats would evolve, how society would evolve. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I think, you know, in the Constitution, they worried about treasonous
mm-hmm.
people within the government, subversive inside elements,
yep.
the, you know, the worm in the belly of the whale to rot it from mm-hmm. the inside out. If yep. we ever got to be that point where we were a whale, which we are.
Yeah.
And I think there are ways to try to stop that from happening, but... People are, you know, people, and especially people with a more power-hungry bent may not be encumbered with a necessity to do the right thing at the cost of doing whatever's necessary.
Yeah.
So they'll do whatever, and they're clever. They're not dumb. They're not dumb because they're evil. They're very smart.
Yeah.
If you call it evil, and that's maybe a bad word, but they're very smart and they'll find ways around things. And I think the test of the fact that the Constitution has covered us as long as it has and still upheld our rights to self-defense and a lot of the other things that we often take for granted, I think that's a testament to how brilliant these men were. And it's not right to say, oh, these men were slave owners. Everything they did was wrong. We need to throw out everything and restart.
100% agree.
Right? And isn't that the argument?
100% agree, yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I think that, yes, they were brilliant. Mm-hmm. They created a system that...
They were imperfect, but yeah.
Absolutely imperfect.
Yep.
And they knew it, you know?
Yep.
They knew they were imperfect. They knew why they were imperfect.
Sure.
But they created a system that is designed to and has, for the most part, 250 years later, protected individual, which is the most important part of it, individual freedom, individual liberty. So,
and that's why we're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love that.
Sure.
That's who we are. We still have appreciation for it. I don't think we want to take this for granted. And I think there's a lot of people out there, and especially anybody who's probably watching this or comes back, you know, future episodes and then wants to go see our origin episode here tonight. They're going to come back because they agree that there has something that has changed. And it's important to get these ideas out there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
There's a lot of... I think a lot of the modern problems are... I mean, for example, freedom of speech is definitely under attack. It's under attack from tech companies right now, right here, right now, more than anything else. I think government plays a part in encouraging censorship. I think censorship's horrible.
That was proven when Elon Musk
bought
Twitter and started going back through everything, and he released, if you look into it, you'll find it on the internet, proof that the intelligence services had a directive for old Twitter prior to being X to keep a narrative alive and to squash another narrative. Again, this is something for you to go down the rabbit hole. If you haven't heard about this, please check it out. But don't let me cut you off.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing that has to be stopped. And, you know, when you go back to the Constitution, it's hard to figure out how that document can be used to stop a private company. Because, I mean, if I own Twitter... I can allow whatever kind of speech I want.
And I agree with
that
entirely.
If you walk into my house and say something I don't like, I can kick you. I won't.
Absolutely.
I won't because I like to hear what people have to say, but I could kick you out of my house for saying something I don't like, you know?
So I firmly come from the place that there's no such thing as discrimination in the private lives and the private businesses and private ownership. There's no such thing as discrimination. Now, I believe in karma, and those are different discussions.
Sure.
Where discrimination comes into play is when the government enacts discrimination.
So,
right? if they legalize discrimination over one person, like the women who fought for, you know, women's suffrage, for the right to vote, that was discrimination against Americans.
Yep.
But when Facebook tells you you're an asshole and takes your posts off, even though they're good posts, truthful posts, ones that people need to hear. That's their right to do that. So that's my opinion. I don't.
It is their right to do it, but it's. I feel like it. I don't just feel like I'm. Yeah, I think it's fair. It's obvious that, you know, there's one side that's being shut down and another side that isn't.
Sure.
So how do you stop that? Well, because you're right. They do have the right to do it, and I agree that they have the right to do it.
Okay.
So. But it's not
good. How do you stop that, though?
How do you stop it? Because it's bad for discourse. It's bad. It is not good that a company has the right.
Yeah.
It may be good that they have the right, but it's not good that they choose to use that right.
How do you stop it?
I
think that there are some people in this world that make you and I look like retards because they're so brilliant. And it's nice to live in a world like that.
Yeah.
All right? And one, I think that some of these people know that if all of the social media platforms are censored. Let me start over. If an individual social media platform is censored, it's bad for business because people don't want to be in that environment. They want to be naturally in a place where they can see what they want to read, things of that nature. It's bad for business. Now, if you corner the entire market and get all of them on the same place where they're all doing it, then that eliminates the people's ability to choose, and they still enjoy the other benefits of social media.
Sure.
Why is that important, though? How do you stop them from doing this? If you have one that breaks free from that paradigm, and they're free,
let the market decide.
The market begins to decide. Now, that might also be when the propagandists step in and say, oh, nobody wants to go to X anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go to them because this guy's crazy and loony. Well,
they were on a propaganda.
They were trying to create public opinion and turn people away from it. But I think as time is going on, we're proving that, okay, X is now free. They've reinstated the former president. They've done a lot. They've reinstated Alex Jones. Giving people voices back and giving people a way to hear the other side or hear what they do want to hear.
They got Tucker Carlson on.
Tucker Carlson. Isn't it great? Isn't that freaking awesome?
And by the way, there's anybody that thinks Tucker Carlson is treasonous, and I'm not.
Have people been saying that?
Because he went and interviewed Putin, which to me is insane. Not interviewing Putin, but calling the man a treasonous for doing journalism,
for
interviewing one of the most important people in the world.
That's right.
He does what he does.
Did you watch that interview?
Yeah, I did.
I did too. I watched the first two-thirds of it. Yeah. I think probably the last third was the best part. I just didn't get a chance.
The whole first
half of it was him talking about the history of Russia.
I thought Tucker let him talk a little bit too long for the most part.
No, I think... Do you think so?
Yeah, I do, because I was bored to death. I know a little bit about the history of Russia, but man, Putin's...
He knew the hell he was doing, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
Every single time a poignant question, he'd go, let me finish. This is important. I have to go to the... Definitely a KGB man. There's no question about it. I guess where I was going with that whole thing prior was that if you have one that breaks the paradigm and it's bad for business for the rest of them, it begins the descent and going back in the right direction again.
So as long as we can maintain a free market.
That's how. Yep. That's how it's done. And when you have places like Spotify that allow Joe Rogan to produce content and have conversations, the important conversations, uncensored. Mm-hmm. And not only do they let him do it, they just signed this man to a new contract.
Was that the reason they boycotted it? Wasn't it like Neil Young and some other people were taking their music off of Spotify because something Rogan said? I think it was vaccines.
Unbelievable. And a great example, you say vaccines, is Robert Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And, libertarians here, we're not going to be the dirt on the feet of conservatives. We're not going to vote conservative just because maybe politically more aligns with libertarianism. If you've ever listened, I don't know what you think about Robert Kennedy, but as a Democrat,
I have a lot of respect for him.
I think he's
wrong about 90% of the shit that comes out of his mouth.
That's something you and I can discuss.
But they're trying to bury him because of
it. They're trying to bury him. Anybody they're trying to bury?
Yep.
I know it's on my side.
Yep, 100%.
Everybody they try to bury, Tulsi Gabbard, and there's other Democrats.
Joe Manchin?
Yeah.
Yep.
So Joe Manchin's West Virginia, right?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So you got a faction of Democrats that aren't towing the line, which tells you that someone is co-opted.
Yeah, I think there's regular Democrats like that all over the country.
Absolutely.
I think the vast majority of them...
To me, it makes sense.
They've ruined what was once... I never... Uh-huh. Democrats historically, at least, I've never agreed with them philosophically about, what their, political agenda.
When you say never, how far back?
I'm trying to...
You're a 38-year-old guy, right?
Never in my life,
okay,
since I started paying attention to politics, which was when I was young, 38.
Okay, but when you say young, when did you feel like you started paying attention?
When I started watching the TV.
Okay.
Yeah. Literally, my family was always politically interested, and I was I remember watching, I think, what are the first news I remember watching was the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that being a big deal.
Sure, the original Desert Storm, 1990 probably, right?
Yeah, I remember watching the Bush Senior Clinton election. I was in second grade, I believe.
Sure.
So I was paying attention, you know, at that point, and I totally lost my train of thought.
No, that's all right, dude. It's going to happen, man. That's how this goes.
Yeah.
But no, I find that... So what we were talking about was that you've all never really aligned with the Democrats.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. But I recognize that it was once a great American political party.
Absolutely.
Even as late
would
as
you
the
have voted for John F. Kennedy?
Maybe. Okay. Possibly I would have considered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, he was a great American. So, he was a great president.
I like both Kennedy and Nixon.
Yeah.
And they were going against one another, if I'm not mistaken. Again, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not mistaken. You're right.
Yeah. So I would have voted for either one of those guys. And I personally think that Nixon got the shaft when he did get his opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to defect on some level in the same way that they went after Trump. The swamp went after him, too. And I believe that Watergate, I think there's probably ample evidence out there that Watergate was a setup.
Sure.
You know, there's a whole thing going on during the Nixon time period, 1972, when they took us off of the gold standard, which, for us old-school liberals like us, not fans of it. Just so you know, spoiler alert, we're not fans of going off of the gold standard. We don't like unsound money, all right? Now, don't get me wrong, I might like cryptocurrency, but that's also dangerous, too,
you
if
know
we go
who
to
hates,
a
you
world
know who
currency.
Hates cryptocurrency, though.
Who's that?
The liberals. The new liberals, not the us liberals.
Sure. Oh, you mean the
we'll
communists? So I'm going to be really intolerant, and for lack of a better word, I'm going to call them either the woke, or the sheep, or the socialists, or the neoliberals. Neoliberals might be the best word, considering.
Like I said I like sheep.
Sheep works. Bah. Yeah. All right. And that's, you know, if you hear me go bah, you know what I'm talking about. All right. So with all that in mind, I think we've got plenty to talk about. I think from my own personal agenda going forward, I've got a litany of topics that I feel are personal to me. And if you don't mind me telling a little bit about myself.
Go ahead.
All right. Been a business owner for a long time. I started at 14 years old on a lobster boat up in Maine. My first job is taught me a lot about ethic. As you can see, I like tattoos. I've been tattooed pretty good. I've been the master of a large Masonic lodge. I've been a Freemason for almost 20 years. I'm 41 now, but it's been pretty close to 20 years. I can talk a lot about there. I have an interest, and I think you and I both share interests in some out there shit, right?
Yeah, totally.
You like quantum physics?
I love quantum
physics. We don't understand it, but we're going to try to talk about it.
Talk about it for sure.
We love philosophy.
Yep.
UFOs.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like they're a poignant, important thing to speak about. You know, everybody seems to be talking about that now, and we might sound a little trite when we get into it, too. But because I think every podcast in the world is talking about fucking UFOs right now, right?
Right.
But you know what? We're going to put our take on it. We'll put our spin on it, you know?
For sure.
And if we throw something extra that nobody else is saying or a philosophical view on any of those things, that maybe we'll just catch a little edge of something that you just didn't hear somewhere else. Because I know, Matt, you have a ton of developed thoughts on all these things we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Things we're never going to scratch the surface on here today.
Yeah.
And I feel like I probably do too. What's your set of things that's near and dear to you that you want to have be part of our discourse here?
Things that are near and dear to me. I mean, I just kind of want to let it go where it ends up going. I mean, obviously there's, you know, we've talked a little bit about politics, but politics, philosophy, you know, I'm like Ben said, a wildly interested in like cosmology. Like I don't. Until the math shows up, you know, like the philosophy behind the cosmology.
Sure.
I mean, day-to-day life, too. I mean, we...
Day-to-day life, absolutely.
Yeah. Just kind of talk about what's happening in the world. You know?
I think both of you and I agree that if there is some subversive element that's trying to backslide, I don't know if you want to call Western nations, America... Europe into some place of weakness again.
There
one
is.
One of the things is that they're attacking most strongly is masculinity.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
And I think that's a big part of why we're doing this.
Yeah. There is.
There's a healthy aspect to self-actualized, real masculinity.
Yep.
That has driven the human race forward, but sometimes in very violent ways, which hasn't been good, and that's maybe the negative aspects of it, but there's a protective nature that I think they're trying to get rid of, so we're an easier take.
Yeah,
100%. Am I wrong?
No, and they're succeeding in a lot of ways. I always say there's nothing toxic about my masculinity. There isn't.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
You know, I am who I am, and I think that's a good thing. You know, to me, being a man just means standing on your own 2 feet and taking care of your damn business. I mean, that's the short form. I mean,
what's
there's
your
a
business?
Lot that goes along.
What is your business? When you say taking care of your business, what is your business as a man?
You know, making sure I feed myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making
you
sure.
You have a beautiful wife, too.
I do have a beautiful wife.
Yeah. You definitely outpunted your coverage on that
100%
one. 100%
so we do. We both outpunted our coverage. Our wives will be. Superstars on our program
works.
Occasionally. So.
We will be inviting them in for brief momentary things that I think you'll probably enjoy. We have some plans for that. It'd be quite funny because they're both. They're both pretty cool.
Just taking care of yourself and not relying on anybody. And not that you can't rely on people. I rely on my friends. Like if I need, comes a time when you're going to need something. I'm not saying you can never rely on somebody else. You should rely on somebody else sometimes, but you should never take that for granted and assume that somebody else is going to come, you know, clean up your fucking mess.
Absolutely.
And that's, to me, that's...
It's part of being an industrious man is to have a group of people you care about, people that care about you, who are capable. You know, everybody loves to have a guy somewhere, you know, like, I got a guy that can do this, right? I got a guy who can fix my car. Mm-hmm. I've got a guy that can do my tattoos. Everybody loves to have a guy.
Yeah.
But that's part of being an industrious person. That's not what we're talking, you know, that's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely.
What it is
I'm not a car guy.
But it's when you want to compel people to do it for you. Or you're waiting for somebody else.
Yeah, you're waiting for somebody to hand something to.
Uh-huh. That's different.
Yeah.
That is absolutely
There's a
different.
Lot of things I don't know how to do that I need some help with, and that's great, but I don't expect anything from anybody, and that's the important part of
that's
things.
For sure.
I don't expect anything from anybody for free.
I think we should take a little break.
Okay.
All right. We'll sit down for a second, and we're going to catch me part of my impending doom, and we'll be back in just a moment. Part two of our little voyage through why we're here and why we're doing this. Again, we are the original liberals.
The original
Matt
liberal.
And Ben. Cheers to you. All right. Thank you for watching us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you. If you like, you know, if you like the tenor of who we are and what we're saying, please follow, like, subscribe, whatever it is. We don't even know what media platforms we're going to be going to.
Sure.
So at this point, we're just going shooting from the hip, man.
Yep.
But anyways.
Really, I think we should talk about that, too. We probably both prepared separately in our minds, like, to ourselves. But we've been talking about doing this for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some basic conversation about the kind of stuff we want to talk about. But we did not come into this episode with...
Well, I agree.
We wanted it that way. We wanted it to be an organic conversation.
This is going to be very organic. There's no script here.
Yeah.
Now, going forward, we may actually have times when Matt is the host and he brings a topic that we're going to discuss for the whole episode. We don't know necessarily how it's going to evolve. But
we may have topics, episodes where Ben brings a topic too.
That's the same, Mike. You know, I don't mind doing that a little bigger. It'd be fun, I think.
Yeah.
But the real fact of the matter is, we're just going to say what we feel is important.
Yep. For sure.
But right now, This is like just getting to know you,
yeah,
and getting to know us. And you know, this is your man cave, Matt. Tell me all about it.
This is we bought this house 10 years ago, and when we looked at probably 50 houses. My wife wanted a lot of very specific things. You know,
mm-hmm. You're being a good man.
She wanted the open concept. She wanted a nice sized piece of land. All I cared about was the nice sized piece of land. So
nice sized piece of land. And
well, the I didn't. When I bought the house, when we were shopping for a house, I wasn't thinking man cave.
But okay.
When we looked at this house, immediately it checked all of her boxes, or at least 90% of her boxes. And after we were sitting in the living room, and I was like, okay, this is the one.
Yeah.
This room was like an extra living room. And I told her, I said, if we buy this house, please give me this man cave.
Yeah.
I didn't say I'm taking it. I said, please give it to me.
Yeah, please.
And you can have the rest of the house, and I'll put all my tacky shit, you know, sports stuff, gun safes. I'm going to build a bar.
That too, man. Yeah. And I think a lot of men do. You know, it's their environment. We're trying to make a life for them.
But right, on some level. Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So she allowed me to. She's tried to tell me to paint the walls, and I've said no. And she didn't complain when I built the bar. That was cool, but
sure.
She lets me do whatever I want down here. It's
obviously.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I always say I'm the king, though, and I roll as a vassal to the emperor, because I did ask her if I could put smoke eaters in here and smoke cigars down here. She said, absolutely not. So once in a while, I get overruled.
Which is why we have to be taking breaks every once in a while. Listen, American Spirits, all right? I'm not doing an advertisement right now, at least paid advertisement. But if you're going to smoke, there's nothing but tobacco and water. And I'm sure there's something in the roll, the papers for the cigarette that wouldn't be great. But if you're going to smoke, this is the one to do, as far as I'm concerned. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Fuck it. I'm going to die.
When I bum one off here every once in a while.
Absolutely. That's right. So, you know, you've been in this house, you said 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And this room is my domicile. So, just felt like it'd be a good spot, good backdrop for the podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, tell me about what you got on the walls through here. Tell me about what you see. What you got going on.
I got you can't see the entire thing from here, but. I mean, I like old, you know, tobacco and beer advertisements. Got my gun safes, got my guitars, got my TV, got my bar right here.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy built this. We're not carpenters by any means.
It looks good to me. I figured you bought it like this.
It looks good. No, yeah. It took probably 5 or 6 weekends. I ended up with more spare lumber than I did actual bar material, because we made so many bad cuts, but
sure. that's a great analogy.
Five or six weekends of drinking beer and putting this thing together, so that was so this is my spot. And,
awesome.
You know, I got a little bit of political stuff up here, of course.
Really? Here's what I see. I see political stuff. I see sports. I see you're a Pittsburgh Pirates guy.
I
feel bad for you. I'm sorry.
Massive baseball fan.
Yep.
I'm a casual football fan. I'm a casual fan of all sports except baseball. I watch them when they're on TV.
Can you tell this guy's old school or what?
Live and die for the Pirates.
Very old school. Living in the Roberto Clemente days. I bet you remember Dave Roberts.
Wasn't even born.
Willie Stargell was the bomb, baby.
They've given me a total of 3 playoff appearances, I believe, since I was... How old was I when they lost the divisional series to the Braves?
92, right? 92,
yeah, so
I think.
I've been 7 years old.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Since that time, they've given
me. Who was on that team? We got the old Andy Van Slyke.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. Yep. Was Tim Wakefield on that team? I think Tim Wakefield was on that team, wasn't he? Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. Skinny Barry Bonds.
Forehead Barry Bonds after Balco. Let's see. There was some players on that team.
Yeah, it was a good team, and it was. Yeah. But you know, I was young. And then they went into 21 years of losing. Every single 21 losing seasons in a row. Is that exciting for a few years?
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's okay.
Hey, cheers. You know what?
I buy the baseball package every year. I pay to watch these. I pay to watch them every night, but. What are you going to do, you know?
See, that's exactly why this man is a libertarian. All right? He's able to stick with the losers like us, because libertarians, we don't win ever. All right, we get our guys that pretend to be Republicans every once in a while. And they do decently, like Ron Paul or whatever. You know, Gary Johnson became the best governor in the history of New Mexico, I think, and you know, ran for president and couldn't tell you where Aleppo was, and things like that happen. All right, because we don't care about the politics; we care about the philosophy that underlies and underpins everything.
Yep.
You know, but not to go back onto the politics rant.
No, it's okay. You know, it always kind of goes back to that, but
it does.
What I love about baseball is, until recently, I loved that it was the only aspect of life without a clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great point.
Well, they fucked that all up, though. Now there's a pitch clock.
There's a pitch clock.
Which I
agree. There's no stopping progress, isn't it?
It makes the game go faster, but, you know, who cares? But anyway.
The whole point of baseball was to be able to take your friends and family out and have a beer and a hot dog with no clock, no pressure.
At the park.
And get away from the industrial factory that you just worked 74 hours in, because Henry Ford hasn't invented the 40-hour work week.
Wait, did Henry Ford invent the 40-hour?
Absolutely, man.
I learned something today.
He was, from what I understand, he was the prime mover behind the first assembly lines.
Yeah,
I know. And he believed that he could run everything on a 40-hour work week. And he actually gave pay raises if you were married. He gave pay raises if you had children. And, you know, some of the neoliberals might not like Henry Ford for some of his stuff, and they may say bad things, but the fact of the matter is that he paid extra for disabled workers, people who couldn't get hired somewhere else. He was the first man that did all that. So that says something about his character.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, he invented the P-51. We built the P-51 Mustangs that helped us win World War II.
Yep.
And the Mustang car came from that, of course, which is super cool.
Talk a little bit about the Mustang car, if you like, Ben.
No, we don't have to go into that. I just, you know, I've driven a couple Mustangs in my day. And I may or may not have a Shelby GT500, which I enjoy driving around, 760 horsepower, enjoying myself. But, you know, that's just stuff, you know, that when you do a lot of the right things in life, certain things come your way.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a big part of the philosophy we talk about here, too, is that there's a couple ways to get ahead in this world. One of them is to write laws and force people to do things the way you want them and collect the checks by doing it. Whether that be knowing ahead of time, like Mr. and Mrs. Pelosi, about what laws are going to affect what companies and place your bets on Wall Street the proper way. Whether it be through force, fraud, coercion, right? But really the way that any self-respecting man gets ahead in this world is to provide to others. I guess it's Dale Carnegie, if I remember right, who said that, if you want to dine with the classes, you have to sell to the masses. And that's the right way to do it. And that's what this capitalistic expression of libertarianism is that capitalism is, in my opinion, it's not a thing. It's not real. All there is liberty. And the liberty's philosophical expression of that is free voluntary trade. And that I think capitalism could properly be defined as a fake word used to demonize liberty in the economic arena.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe capital.
How do you feel about protective tariffs?
Oh, you mean protective tariffs against.
On imports.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always kind of a.
So the Constitution and the libertarian society only extends to its borders.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I agree with you. I was curious. We never really talked about that before.
To its borders. And that's, you know, why.
Borders are important.
There are a lot of libertarians or old school liberals who will make the argument that it's wrong to put up border walls, for example. Because all people are people, and if you believe in libertarianism, it applies to them. But I think that's a very short-sighted stance.
Yeah.
In the sense that what we have is an influx of people coming to this nation that have no interest in naturalizing. There's a reason this called, it used to be called when we were kids, immigration and naturalization.
Yeah.
People have forgotten that term, and I think there's a reason they deleted that term from immigration and naturalization, because they don't want Americans to believe in liberty anymore. They want people coming from places that have never been raised in that. that not only may vote in their favor, but...
That's the main thing they care about.
Well, there may be more. What we've got here is we know that there's at least 30,000 Chinese, almost all of male military age, who are being imported down into South America and making the voyage with the caravan, as they call it, of immigrants that are coming this way. So what we may have in the greater perspective of things is not only more voters for whatever you want to call them, the cabal, whatever, but they may actually be a situation where they are coming up to take the place of military men that dropped out during the COVID pandemic and didn't want to take the vaccine and were kicked out of the military. So these independent-minded men are no longer a part of the military. And they're dwindling numbers, and of course if you're a military leader, you need to have numbers of men.
Yep.
So what you do is you can replace these men with people, give them citizenship based on their service in the military, right? And then you also have a new class of soldier that may not say no if you ask them to take the moral orders.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard this theory before?
No.
Okay. Hope that I'm not being too loquacious here.
No,
but... So I think for a long time, nobody worried that something could happen domestically because military men are also Americans, right? They have families. They were born here. They're part of our society and our culture, the liberty. They grew up with all that. They are Americans. And a lot of them are incredibly patriotic. I wouldn't say that that would be the case if you replaced a million of those men with people who were born elsewhere and have no concept. They may be willing to take orders no matter how unpatriotic those orders are.
The only thing that...
That's dangerous.
I hear you, and it makes sense, but I don't see them requiring any military service of these people. It's just like you come in and hear you. I mean...
That's something... Please,
is
please
that
let
what
us
they're
know.
Doing?
Please let us know on this. I believe that this is a part of the agenda.
It could be a long-term agenda, but what I'm seeing is they're coming in and getting shit immediately, like, you know... I think that the way our society is going, you're not going to see as many, you know, full disclaimer, I've never served in the military, so I'm not, you know, from that viewpoint, I just don't think that, I feel like the number of people volunteering, and I don't know what the numbers are specifically, but the number of people volunteering for military service is probably already going down, it's going to continue to go down. Just because, you know, everybody's all about themselves, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Doesn't have a vested interest in the society. Or, you know,
maybe nobody wants to join the military because there isn't a World War II out there anymore. I think a lot of good men, myself included, and both of my grandfathers included, and I'm sure you as well, Matt. You know, if you were faced with the prospects of what was occurring during World War II, you may have signed right up.
Oh, an existential threat to the war. Yeah, absolutely. Like,
but
we haven't had that in a long time.
Don't you think the military loses its luster? They're less heroic.
Yeah.
When you go through a series of Vietnams,
absolutely,
Iraqi and Afghani and Syria. I mean, is this really
none of those things war? Were an existential threat to America?
No.
Like if we had lost World War II.
Maybe they were, but we don't understand why they were.
Yeah.
And let's be fair. Maybe there was a vested interest in America overall for its health to do those things.
A vested interest is different than an existential threat, though.
Exactly. Well, not necessarily.
But not... You're right. Not necessarily.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But not definitely. Like,
right,
if
exactly.
we had lost yeah. World War II, we definitely...
Oh, for sure.
You ever seen, what's the show on?
That was a clear and present danger is what that was.
Have you ever
seen? The Japanese were a clear and present danger. When they're dropping our ships in Pearl Harbor, yeah, it's a pretty good idea to go ahead and stop them from doing that.
What's the alternate history show? I think it's on Amazon Prime, on Prime Video, where the Japanese and the Germans won the World War II.
I've never heard of it.
Wow. I'm completely drawing a blank here. No, I'm drawing a blank.
We'll circle back to it if you come back with that name, because it sounds interesting, for sure.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's a good thought experiment.
Yeah, and like the Japanese ruled the Western,
right?
Or, you know, the Western half of America.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Until the Rocky Mountains, and then there was like a buffer zone, and okay. The Germans ruled the greater Reich on the eastern half, and the Cold War in this scenario was between the Germans and the Japanese, whose borders now bumped up against each other in America, and it's just...
But that's the kind of shit that... I mean, nobody knows exactly what would have happened, but that's what I'm saying. Like, during a war like that, everybody signs up.
And you know, I saw Elon Musk make this point, and he was right. We as America did something unheard of in human history at the end of that war. We stopped.
Yeah.
We were the big gorilla, the 400-pound gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
We could have taken over the world at that moment.
Yeah.
We could have just taken...
Would have been a hell of a fight against Russia, but...
Wasn't it Patton's suggestion? Was it Patton?
Well, I think Patton...
He suggested that we just continue going right on into Russia?
Patton wanted to fight Russia, yeah.
Yeah?
Patton wanted to fight wars.
He wanted to fight wars, right?
Yeah.
This is the exception in human history that not only did we not take over the world when we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
We could have made a libertarian world if we wanted to at that moment. We could have made an asshole, whatever we wanted to do. That was ours to take. But instead, we rebuilt nations.
Yeah.
Which, this is why we're here. Because America is that kind of place, in my opinion. And that's what place it was, and maybe it will still be.
I don't even think it's an opinion. I mean, I don't know if I would say the world was ours to take.
We had nukes. Who else had nukes?
Yeah, but were we going to just nuke the living shit?
We could have, yes.
Okay, you've
got a point. Human history.
You've got a point.
Who had the opportunity to continue nuking the world and chose not to?
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Just us.
It was prime time.
Yep.
And we chose not to because America is something different, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's and I, you know, we get so much hate from the neoliberals, not just America, but the West in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Western society is not a bad thing. To me, it's a good thing.
There's nothing perfect about anything. But yeah.
No, for example, we're the first. Western society is the first society in the history of the world to put an end to slavery.
I think so, right?
Definitely.
At least it's very close to
there are I don't know how many millions of slaves in the world today, but there's not one single government sanctioned official piece of chattel property in the world today, and there's a reason for that, and it's because the West ended it. You know, we get blamed for colonialism. We get blamed for slavery. Like, slavery is fucked up. Like, let's just get that.
Sure.
It's fucked up. But we, as a society, not me, not you, but as a society, the West decided that it was bad, ended it within its own individual borders, and then imposed through its strength the pressure on the rest of the world to follow suit, and now there's not a single country in the world where it's legal, where it's officially legal to own a slave, and that's a good thing.
Do you know when the last, what year it was?
I don't care how much hate I get for saying it.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Absolutely. We're here to be controversial.
Sure.
We're here to say the things that they don't want you to hear. I'm here to say the things that you don't want to hear. I'm here to say the things that they don't want any of us to say or talk about, because even if I'm wrong, which I've been wrong a lot in my life, and I'll continue to be wrong a lot more going forward, and I'm sure you'll all let me know all about that. I want to be wrong, because then I have the opportunity to be right if I admit it, and I can learn, and I can grow as a human being. But do you know when the last, and I think this is 100% true, and check it out later, but you know what year it was the last country still had sanctioned slavery?
Like 1981.
That's exactly, it was like 1988, yeah, it was the 1980s, man.
It's insane.
It took that long. It took that long, but, you know...
It was somewhere in the... It was an Arabic country, I think, or maybe North African. I don't know exactly which one.
I can't remember exactly where it was either. I just thought it was an interesting thing when I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, all the way up to the 1980s, there was still sanctioned slavery in this world. Now, don't get me wrong, there's private slavery, there's a lot of sex trafficking, there's a lot of bad things in this world. This world is fucking weird. But I believe you've got to count your blessings and the positives from where it's really coming from. And when you really figure that out, we went from a brutal, brutal world to one where you can get peanuts on airplanes within a couple hundred years.
And then you can't get peanuts on airplanes anymore.
They're trying to take it all away from us. They're trying to take it. This is why we're here. All right.
We demand peanuts on airplanes. Yeah.
Or smoke on airplanes. You know, is that line?
I want to smoke in my man cave. Yeah.
You know, in the last year, you could smoke on airplanes was.
I'm gonna guess. I don't ever. I was born in 1985, and I don't ever remember seeing anybody smoking on an airplane. But I'm gonna go with 1986.
1969. And that was the same year we put a man on the moon, all right? How many times have we done that since?
Right.
Get smoking back on airplanes. Fuck this bullshit. Not really. Smoking is bullshit, but I love it. So
you gotta have something in life, right? You want to smoke, man.
Absolutely. That's the best part of the whole libertarian deal is if I find it to be a beneficial factor in my life, I can do it. Nobody can tell me to stop.
You shouldn't have to pay the government $7. Worth of taxes for it.
Sin tax. So if sin tax works, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If sin tax works and it keeps people from doing sinful things, what about income tax?
That's fucking beautiful.
What do you think about that?
That's the perfect point.
Isn't that the perfect point?
It's the perfect point. Okay. Sin tax works and it keeps you from doing sinful things. Mm-hmm. What do you think an income tax is going to do? It's going to keep you from generating income.
Keep you from generating income or avoiding reporting that income.
Sure.
You know, and so you're creating option. Criminals either way. You've got people who are industrious because they're. I'm a firm believer in something that Thomas Sowell said. And it's that there's no such thing as equality. Equality is not real because I'm not even equal to who I was last week or yesterday. All right.
Okay.
So when you try to make a society where everybody's on an equal playing field. You can only do it from the beginning of the race, not the actual race itself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So we all have life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And this is all we're entitled. This is all we're entitled to. Yeah. You're right, pursuit. We're all entitled to the pursuit. Not the guaranteed outcome, not any help along the way.
No.
Part of being an adult is taking ownership of your own life. It's part of being a man, especially.
Yeah.
Is taking ownership of your own life. Taking responsibility for the things that you've made your promises to,
yep.
for yourself and the people you love.
Mm-hmm.
And any shortchanging of that is the worst thing I believe you can do to people, but especially men. And is to take away their own self-determination.
It degrades them.
It degrades them. Every time you subsidize someone for not succeeding, you're incentivizing them to continue not succeeding.
Yep, they do it all the
They'll
time.
Never grow, they never learn. It's the worst thing you can do to a human being. It's a lot like women who've been told since the moment they sprouted tits when they were 14, oh, you're so beautiful, and then given everything. It's continuously giving something unearned is a great way to fuck someone's head up.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
100%.
And why are we doing this to a whole society? Why are we doing this to a whole society?
I think it's being done on purpose.
You think it's being done on purpose?
Yep. Yeah. I do. I think it's being done on purpose.
To what end?
I think that they give things to people for free,
mm-hmm.
to make them dependent, to take their will to succeed and their will to really live, like, so that they can make them subservient, so they vote the right way, so that they pay their taxes, mm-hmm. like, you know.
Is it an easy way to buy a vote?
It's the easiest way to buy a vote.
Okay.
Yeah, you give somebody something, they'll vote for you, but it's the goal is to change society in general. It's to eliminate people like you and me who think independently and don't want shit from anybody.
That's right.
Create a society full of drones who do. It's very important that they fail. It's
mm-hmm. Make them believe that they can't live without you.
Yeah.
In philosophy, there's something called the Hegelian dialectic, all right? And this is called the problem-reaction-solution loop, is where you create, if you want to rule people, you can create a problem, especially if you're in a place of leadership and power. You can create a problem on purpose, manufacture one. And all you have to do is wait for people to react to that problem. Okay?
Okay.
So once they've reacted and they feel out of control of their lives and there's this big existential issue that may upset everything they've ever dreamed of, you come back to them and say, oh, there's your reaction. Well, we have a solution for you. Let me give you my solution, which is what they had in their back pocket the whole time before the problem was created. All right?
Yeah, it's a setup.
But people have been doing this. This is how societies have been run for thousands of years, I would assume. Hell, husbands do it to their wives. Wives do it to their husbands. Uh-huh. This is something that's not esoteric. This is just a natural way of governing a society.
Yeah.
Right? How many times have you seen them, Tipper Gore, go to Congress and say, look, this CD by this horrible band, The Mentors, is talking about rape and they're laughing. Well, that's shitty stuff, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it doesn't need to be deleted from society.
Yeah.
Which is what they wanted. I think there was a whole thing where they were going against pornography, they were going against crude music. Imagine if artistic expression get taken from us.
It has. Comedians aren't allowed to be funny anymore.
Yeah.
But they've gone the opposite. They've kind of abandoned their... It's not about vulgarity anymore. It's it's about ideas.
Yeah.
They've moved on from, trying to ban words and, like the shit that they were trying to ban when we were kids.
Right.
Because now it's, you can say whatever you want. You can be as offensive as you want.
Absolutely.
But you can't think a certain
shit. It's great to have an OnlyFans account. You're doing awesome. Congratulations on your OnlyFans, which I have no problem with either, and I don't think you do either.
Nope.
However, don't dare not want to fuck a transsexual because you're an immoral person because you don't find them attractive. All
right? Right.
Which is fine if you do and fine if you don't. Again, we are the classical liberals who believe in your right to be whoever you
are. The difference between us and Republicans, in case anybody out there has been listening so far and thinking, check. These guys are Republicans. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Like a transsexual.
Exactly.
Whatever.
For folks who are, if you're unfamiliar with this philosophy or this way of thinking, because you haven't been exposed to it, we understand, we get it.
Yep.
I'll put it in overly simplistic terms, is that a classical liberal, or what we call a libertarian, is a social liberal. Take your social dynamics, your social liberties from your Democrats. And we tend to agree with most of those.
Yeah.
Be who you want to be.
Right? I agree with most of it in theory, not always in practice.
We get this aside for ourselves. And that's an important thing.
I'm going to give you an example. I agreed with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. However, I'm pro-choice. Mm-hmm. However, I think it should just be codified. Like, it's not... I thought that the Supreme Court's got a job to do. Mm-hmm. Interpret the Constitution the way it's written.
Absolutely.
I'm an originalist.
You can't be an activist and sit on
a... Maybe not an originalist, a textualist. I guess there's a difference. Maybe not, but...
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You can't be an activist and sit on a court. So there's not... Obviously, anybody who's ever read the Constitution, it's not a long document. There's nothing in there that guarantees the right to an abortion. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the ruling to overturn Roe versus Wade was correct. However, I'm 100% in support of pass a law. Mm-hmm. Pass a law. Make it legal. That'll be great because I'm pro-choice because I'm socially liberal. I believe
socially
in
liberal.
Your right to do whatever the hell you want to do.
Is it murder? Body. Probably. Do I care?
At the same time, somebody...
There's positives and negatives about that. I think it's the one issue that I don't
know. It's a hard issue.
I can't give you my answer.
It's a very hard issue. It's an issue that I'll never... It's a hard issue to argue with people. Mm-hmm. If somebody's pro-life, it's hard for me to argue with that because I know what I get
every side of that argument.
The best argument about this, I think I can throw, is that I'm reminded of a movie. I don't know if you want to call it a documentary, but it was called Freakonomics. Please go back and check it out. And what this movie is about is these economists decided to use statistical analysis to figure out a lot of the interesting things about society. And part of this was Roe versus Wade and its effects on society in the future. Mm. And what was interesting was they found, you can look this up, you can just verify this for me if you want to, is that in 1972, Roe versus Wade was enacted. And abortion was legalized in most states. And what they found was that 16 to 18 years later, there was a politician in New York City named Rudy Giuliani, who happened to be known as the great mayor of New York City, and he was tough on crime. Well, 16 to 18 years later, they found that they believed that the people who would have been committing crime in 1988 had not been born. Okay? And so on. And then you see this precipitous drop. drop in crime in New York City. And Rudy Giuliani makes a career on being this guy that created this in New York City. So, that alone isn't a great example. However, the same economists realized that states had 2 years prior passed their own laws legalizing abortion. And the exact same drop in crime occurred 2 years earlier in those states. That is an important thing to know.
That's interesting.
Does it make it moral?
No.
That's an interesting question.
Not necessarily.
It's an interesting question.
It depends.
What makes something moral?
Yeah, I mean, you get into a greater good argument.
How many people's lives were saved because that crime did not occur?
In my opinion, that's not what makes something moral. But,
exactly.
But, it doesn't change how I feel about the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always found that to be an interesting thing when I saw that.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I think most people probably have. The Freakonomics probably came out 20 years ago. I think it was pretty famous when it first came out.
I don't think I've seen it.
Okay.
I know of it.
Dude, you love it.
I don't think I've seen it.
You freaking love it. Well.
Check it out.
We're going back. We're socially liberal, but damn, we're governmentally conservative.
And 100%.
What that means is that, just like the Founding Fathers, we believe that government is a necessary evil. Necessary.
Yep.
Evil.
Necessary in certain respects.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to. You got to protect your. What you're supposed to have is a series of states who came together voluntarily, right, to form a union.
Mm-hmm.
And a federal government in place to protect the border of those states and take care of certain responsibilities, like military things of that nature.
Mm.
But the role of government isn't bigger than that.
And protect individual freedoms. Like, the government should be there to protect your freedoms.
When there's disputes between states, let's say South Carolina and Wyoming have a standoff over a railroad where there's a place on the, and the state, okay, anyways. Maybe South Carolina and North Carolina. I mean, that's a little better example.
Yeah, probably.
When there's a dispute between those states and it can't be settled within state, you go to a federal court. That's what it's there for. That's what the federal courts are there for. It's not to judge cases like Roe versus Wade.
Yep.
It's the states are supposed to be able to do that. The federal government was never supposed to have that kind of all-encompassing power.
Government is always more effective at a lower level.
They care more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and they know more about, like, your local government.
Yeah.
Your local government knows you better than your state government. That knows you better than your federal government.
Absolutely.
Don't get me started on the world government, if they're definitely trying.
But... yeah. The further you get from home, the less they care, right?
Yeah, and the less they know about you.
The less they know about you, the less they care.
The less
your
individual concerns are important.
Yeah.
And the communities, that's, to me... how we evolved as humans to live in small communities, small tribal bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely in our DNA, and that's how we were supposed to live, in my opinion. So,
how does anybody believe that one giant centralized bureaucracy is supposed to take the place of all small government, which it really does, and it tries to superimpose on everybody, and then it's made eminently corruptible.
Propaganda.
And a tool of corporatists that want to squelch competition through regulations, right? You know, that's a great way to make a big business, is you get there before anybody else, and you make so many regulations that nobody can come up behind you, then you can have the essentially the monopoly. You might have one, you know, folks always going to have a Pepsi.
Yeah.
But how many more Pepsis are coming up?
None.
Nobody has the money to provide that kind of service and get to that level anymore.
Yep.
Because it takes too much money to overrule, to get around all the regulations that are holding them down before, you know what, Coke and Pepsi can afford it. Nothing wrong with Coke or Pepsi, they're both great companies, just saying, you know.
Yep.
So this is all based on a federal government that doesn't all, that stifles competition, and competition creates growth, and competition creates better products and services for a lower price.
Yep.
And people grow, and they have incentive. And this is what, you know, the opposite of that is why your communist nations fail, is, boy, they got it all figured out, except for that last part where people are motivated to do anything when they're getting the same shit as the guy down the road who doesn't give a fuck about working hard.
Yep.
Right?
It's been shown over, proven over and over and over again.
Yep.
Well, over and over.
I say we take one more break and we'll come right back to
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
The first episode.
You got to meet.
What are we called again?
the original liberals. You can't surprise me like that, man.
Yeah, no. What's in a name, isn't there? Yeah. What's in a name? We even considered taking pseudonyms because you crazies out there on the internet were a little worried, but we decided not to do that. What's in a name? Because genuine, there's a lot of power in being genuine. So we decided to stick with who we really are as far as names and things of that nature. And that's probably why we chose original liberals for, because that's who we are.
Well, that's who we are, the original liberals.
My friend,
yeah,
I think it's been a successful first go.
I think so too.
And we might look back on this with a wry smile one day.
I'm sure we will.
Or maybe we won't. Maybe, who knows? But it's only going to get better from here, my friend.
Yep.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.